Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Is your God good?
Yes.
Is he wonderful?
Yes.
Tell him that. Go on and tell him. Tell him something. Just tell him something. Lift your hands up and tell him something. Just tell him something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can do better. I'm sure we can. Yeah, he's not a restaurant. Tell him something. Tell him how much you love him, how good he is. And hallelujah. God, we thank you. We are so grateful. God, we come to you because you're always, always. You continue to be who you are because that's who you are. There's nothing about this moment that surprises you, not even when it comes to the PA. You know everything that's happening in the system, and so we regard you higher, above, and beyond. Your people is here for you. They're here to hear from you. They're here to worship together. And like anybody, there's a language. Hear the language of our heart. As we join our faith, join our praise, and we didn't even start praise and worship this morning. We didn't start that. We joined it. That's been going on around the world. The angels have been singing already. And so we join with the millions and millions and millions of believers around the world that say you are great and you're worthy of everything that we can ever give in every life. God, we bless you. And every person here, we bless you. Every life here belongs to you. Give us the ability to hear and then to respond immediately. To hear you speak to us and then respond to you. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody say amen. Give somebody a high five and tell them I love you. Glad to see you. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The Lord is so kind, isn't he? The Lord is kind. For those of us that are here, of course, you know God is, he's very wonderful to us, and he's extremely doing a work in us, and it's so fast. You can see the extreme. I know there's a lot that would draw your attention, but if you really just take the moment out and see that God, he does things well and perfectly. And I'm telling you, on this morning, you can sense something happening in the atmosphere. God is doing something. How many of y'all know he's doing something amazing? Eagle River, bless you. We're so glad you've joined us this morning. We love you. I think I'll be seeing you all in a few days, I think. And it's going to be fun over there because we're going to be indoors, not outdoors. I love you all dearly. We're looking forward to that time that we get to spend. And also, of course, to your pastors, who we love very much. Pastor Bracken is a great man of God. He's an amazing voice, a necessary voice for this generation. And I do believe in my whole heart that God has targeted your pastor to do some things that he could never even dream of doing. That God is just flowing through him and touching people around the globe because of the message and the testimony that God has given to them. They both, of course, as you know, they're quite a team. How many of you appreciate them? Yes. First Lady Karen is really an amazing, amazing, amazing vessel of the Lord and the entire Bracken family. And I know you love them. How many of you are praying for your pastors that their journey back home will be safe, of course, and no disruption? It took us 2 days to get here, which is cool with me. As long as I got here, I'm just saying. No plane could go down. None of us, we can't get nobody, no time for that. We want to get here to this cold, isolated place. At least I had candy in the back. So anyway, I am so glad to be here. I love you all very, very much. You're an amazing people, amazing people. I love you and appreciate your heart. Get your Bible, please, in the 8th chapter of Mark. And there's several things we're going to read. We want to look at some things. How many of you know that this is the perfect moment? The perfect moment. And I don't say that like God has to add another moment to this moment. This is the perfect moment for God to open up our hearts and our eyes to behold a glory we've never seen. It's not that it's not been there. It is our ability to perceive. Perception is so crucial. You do know that, right? And so I want us to look at a few passages of Scripture. Y'all happy? Are you saved and happy? All right, I love that. I love it. We're going to look at two things this morning. I talked a little bit out of something that I want to continue this second service, and then tonight we want to pray for the sick. I'm so excited about tonight. I cannot hardly tell y'all how excited I am about what we're going to experience tonight. Get a chance to minister to you and pray for you and prophesy and lay hands on people. So we're really looking forward to tonight. That starts at 6 o'clock. Make sure you're here in prayer. Please, please come in prayer, okay? I want us to look at a few passages out of Mark, the 8th chapter. Okay, the 8th chapter of Mark. And let's start reading in the 22nd verse. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes, laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again, he laid hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village. Bypass the village and take yourself home." Oh, wow. What a story. Now, one of the very first things that I want to establish quickly is that I wonder how many of us this morning might be ill of thought, not physically, but ill of thought, where there is tension in your thinking that has now become almost an illness. Have you ever talked to somebody and it didn't matter how often or, you know, how much you said, they just still could not give in to the proper reasoning for what God wanted to do for them? Let me say it like this. Someone is trying to tell you over and over and over and over again that God wants to do this and it is the will of God, but your thinking will not permit you to think outside of your anxiety, your fear, or your past, or your trauma. Trauma does not heal itself. It doesn't heal itself. It takes God to heal trauma. When something happens in our lives, that particular pain or that trauma, the way the human brain works with it is that it packages that and puts it somewhere, stores it somewhere so you can continue to do and to continue to experience your humanity. But then there comes a time that we have to deal with trauma, because trauma can be extremely blinding. Trauma can be extremely blinding. At times, even it can become an enemy to truth. You do understand. So he says in the book of Matthew, when he's dealing with them about don't worry about anything, don't be anxious. And he says, now, because of this reason, I'm telling you, don't worry. So the word reason, based on this account, you don't even have to stress anything. That word reasoning is an interesting word, reasoning, based on this account. Now, people that know Jesus, I'm not talking about folks that heard about him, studied about him, people that read about him. Listen close to the word know. People that know. Now, in order to know someone, you know it has to be more than a monologue. It has to be a dialogue. He talks to you, you talk to him. Now, why is this? Reasoning changes. Have you ever liked somebody you know you didn't like? Some of you looked right at your husband. Have you ever dated somebody that wasn't even, don't even come close to what you had made up in your mind? He gonna be 6 feet something, look just like Denzel. Have you ever? And then you bragged about it after you got married and said, he wasn't even my type. I don't know what I saw in him. I don't have a clue. But in the relationship, just talking, your reasoning started to change. Relationship, introduction, acquaintance, friendship, romance, then marriage. Introduction. That's you. How you doing? What's up? Got you. Acquaintance. Your introduction permits the acquaintance. The acquaintance permits the friendship. The friendship permits the romance. And then the romance permits the marriage. Some people, they go from introduction to romance. They skip being acquainted and friendship. So then they get married, but now they're pulled back. They have to go back to now being acquainted or reacquainted and then building friendship. Do you understand? So the sad thing of it is those that go from introduction, he cute, I'm cute, what's up? It goes from that to romance. Why are y'all looking at me? I look like I just, some of you got so quiet up here, you can hear a rat peeing on cotton. They go straight from introduction to romance, just because. Then when the romance is not strong enough, your reasoning change about the same person that you were just romantic with. I'm sorry. In other words, things qualify our reasonings, qualifies. So, but if we go through it correctly to where you're introduced and then you become acquaintance, where, you know, you call, how are you doing, on and on and on. And when acquaintance has done its work, then you give permission for the friendship. And then the friendship becomes a strong base, solid foundation. But each part of that friendship, you have to permit the individual. That's when in friendship you start trusting. Because when women spell love, it's not L-O-V-E, it's T-R-U-S-T. They fall in trust. And when that trust is broken, then we have some issues. Talk for a minute, please. When that's broken, now you have to gain that trust that was given to you free. Now you have to regain that trust. You have to build the bridge that you broke down. Do I have anybody understanding what I'm saying? So you fall in trust. She trusts you with her life. And a woman has to trust you. She can't just love you emotionally. She has to trust you. When she can love you and trust you, she'll do anything. She will stand by your side through thick and thin. If the trust is broken, then that's a whole different thing that has to be dealt with. Lift your hand up if you heard me. Because she'll tell you, I love you, but I don't trust you. Love and trust are two different things. Just because somebody loves you don't mean they trust you. I don't go to my doctor because I love them. My house or my car. My children is not going to your house, but I love you. Love doesn't always demand trust. Can you get me a verse on the screen? Is it possible? Get me on the verse. Get me Job, the 15th chapter and the 15th verse. Now we're going somewhere with this. I need you to just kind of be patient with me, because what God does as he's building you, because he said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Why did he say this? What would change your reasoning, and why at that particular point in ministering or ministering to them did he declare, you're no longer going to be called a servant, I'm going to call you my friends? Relationship. It didn't just, come on, follow me and we're friends. That's not what happened. It was stages. Stages. Stages are crucial as God begins to open our hearts for revelation. That's why this story is so important. Because when Jesus spit on his eyes, you heard it. You heard it. He spit on his eyes and then prayed for him or laid his hands on him. Two things. Spit, then I lay hands on you. You know, if that would have been us, some of us, you know, we divas, you know. Man, you spit on my eye, I'm going to knock you out. You know, I can't see you, but I'm going for it, you know. Why are you swinging at Jesus? He spit on me. You know, our little attitude, I'm telling y'all, we can be special. We don't anticipate certain things. He spit on his eye, then laid hands on him, and then he asked him a question, what you seeing? What do you see? He said, I see men like trees. They walk around like trees. He can see, and I love the fact that he said it that way. Jesus gave him the full right time and space to say what he sees. He didn't say, well, I see man. If it would have been in a lot of Pentecostal churches, he see man. Come on, y'all, lift your hands up. Come on and bless God. We would have stopped there. No, he wanted us to understand this. I see men, okay, you see men how? Walking like trees. That wasn't good enough for Jesus. He laid hands on him again. Now watch, it's stages. He didn't see immediately, and he didn't see perfectly immediately. It took, say it with me, stages. Now when he lays hands on him, he said, I see them perfect. I see them, in other words, they're perfectly focused. Some of you, you just want it to happen. You don't understand that sometimes things take stages. The revelation stages. And you don't ever have a complete revelation until you live that revelation. Talk from it. Because you can talk about Jesus all you want to, but until he becomes your reasoning, then I just want you to understand you're just talking. Lift your hands up and say, Lord, thank you right now. Okay? Because that went all of you. That was about half of you. Can we try it again? Lord, thank you right now. There you go. I knew you could do it. Now, why is this important? Because even in relationship, there's stages. Stages. You are introduced. You are acquainted. You have acquaintance now. You have friendship. All of these qualifies things for the next stage. Introduce. I really like her. I really like him. I really like them. I really like the church. That's so cool. Then you become more acquainted. You come again and then again and then again. Then all of a sudden, your heart qualifies that acquaintance to become friendship. Now you're friends with ministry. You're now dating the ministry. You've not actually married it just yet. But now you can feel in your heart the romance of Jesus in the house. And those that represent his life and his heart becomes dear to you. Do you understand? Do you understand? Because without that, what happens is we want to come to a church that knocks us off of our feet. Oh, I love that church. My God. Oh, man, that church. My. Oh, the nursery. You start counting everything, you know, everything is exact. I mean, God says, and that's why you don't stay, because you won't walk through the stages. You want it all to happen at your will and when you want. How many of you ever met a couple or saw a couple that they won't walk through the stages? They blame everybody for their disruptive lives and their dysfunction. It's everybody's fault. You know, we're trying to find something perfect. Like we're walking the church. Have you been waiting for me? As though when God saved you, you were the end of all of his problems. You got saved and you said, God, you've never saved nobody like me. Let me pop my collar. Abba. Yes, I'm the end of all of your issues, Lord Jesus. And God is going, are you crazy? That's not how it works. God knows that for you to have revelation, it takes stages. For you to see men perfectly, it takes stages. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter said, you only know in part. Everything you have is partial. Everything you know is partial. I don't care how smart you are and how many degrees you have hanging on your walls. Listen, it's all partial. None of us know perfectly. Y'all can say amen now, right? Now, why is this important? It's because you're going to find that as God begins to open our hearts to see his plan for Wasilla, it's going to take stages. One prophetic word after another word, one lesson after another, one teaching after another, one college after. I mean, it's all is taking. You didn't get here overnight. It took stages, stages of giving, stages of living, stages of serving, stages of loving, stages of forgiveness. It's all about going from one place to the other until your heart has been so perfected. You no longer see men as trees. Some of you, you are absolutely convinced everybody's a tree. A fruitless one, too, for some of us. Fruity for others, but that's not the point. The point is, some of us, we see people in a place that it's negative, and we think that's the final stage of their life. That's it. We don't even give them a chance to change. Forget change. Forget that. You hurt my feelings. You hurt me. Oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, you won't. And God is saying, you don't understand. You're just in a stage. Age. You're ready to give up on her. He need to go live with his daddy. I'm done with him. This boy don't listen to nothing. He's But it's stages. There's things that you're going to go through, and it's just stages. Stop panicking. Stop tripping. He knows what he's doing, and he has another touch for your condition. I don't care where you are. God has another touch for your condition. If one touch didn't do, there's another one coming. If that touch didn't do, there's another touch. But you can believe me when I tell you, God never runs out of a touch that you need. God specializes in bringing you to a place to where you see differently. The image of how you see people is not going to be the image of how you see them later. Some of you have already in your head, you said, and I've heard couples say this, it'll never change, he'll never change, she'll never change, she always burned my toast. You ought to be saying, God, thank God she's burning my toast and not somebody else's. It's just a stage. She's learning how to cook. You knew when you married her, you knew when you married her, she would burn Kool-Aid. What you grabbing about now? But it's a stage. Betty Crocker can help. Come on, say something, somebody. The ministry of Betty Crocker can just pray for her. God, just, you know. But that's not a reason for us to change our reasoning. And some of us in the wrong stage, we give up. In the wrong stage, you've not waited for the touch that would perfect your heart or perfect your view. Or give you a greater revelation, a greater insight. How do I serve in the church? What do I do? How do I get it done? What class do I have to take? What life group do I have to go to? And we don't want to go through the stages. We just want to be there. And that's why you have preachers. They get saved today and tomorrow they're preaching. They feel like God has called them to the world. But even if he did, you got stages. You got to go through something. Your faith got to go through something. I know that's bad grammar, but got it anyway. You've got to go through something. If your faith can't tolerate anything where you are right now, you ain't ready to go anywhere. You don't need to be polishing nobody's shoes, let alone standing in the pulpit preaching. You go through stages. You learn how to serve first. Lift your head up and say, God, thank you for the stages. I'm telling you right now, some of you are in one of the greatest stages. It don't feel good. It feels uneasy. I mean, you don't feel necessarily the power of God. You ain't speaking in tongues, but you're just in the stage. Stop being so quick to give up on yourself. God knows what he's doing, and he has a touch for you right where you are. And God has called you. He's called all of us to walk through these stages. You're not walking through them alone. You're not by yourself. It's not though you're absent of his presence and his power and his person. It's not as though it is God has abandoned you and looked over you and dismissed you. God knows where you are. He knows that your vision isn't clear, but he knows how to touch you one more time. He knows how to turn your life around. Some of you seem like you're battling for your life. You've never been where you are right now. You've never been so absolutely unhappy, and you've never been so dysfunctional in your thinking and in your thoughts. What's wrong with me? Some of you are sitting here now, you're not in the club, but your spirit is backslid. You're sitting here right now, you used to be on fire, but now you're just a smoking irritation. But God knows how to touch you. He knows how to turn your life around, set you on fire again for him. God knows how to give you the perfect view of what he's doing. Lift your hand up and say, God, touch me again. Say it out, touch me again. And while some of us are sitting in this house on this particular Sunday morning, a Sunday morning you will never get back. You will never get this. You may have lived 1,000 Sunday mornings, but you've not lived this one. It's in this stage, in this moment, that God wants to do something for you. It's in this moment, if your body is sick, if your mind and your reasoning is off-centered, God still has the perfect touch for the imperfection that you're in and for what you're going through. I believe with my whole heart, we've never seen what we're about to see. I know some of us have been in church, we old as Adam. I get that. But at the end of the day, I'm telling you now, I know we look back and we can always talk about Azusa and other different events that have took place in history. I realize it's not a problem that we can look back and talk about the different conferences we've been to and what God has done and the miracles we've seen. I've seen the dead raised 3 times. I don't mean that they were just unconscious. There's 3 or 2 basic understandings of death. There's the clinical death and there's the physical death. I've seen 3 dead. Watch God touch them and raise them up from the dead. I think that's great and that's wonderful. But that is only a stage. What God is going to do in the coming future, in the next few months, in the next few years, you've never seen the power of God move the way God is going to move. I'm telling you, God is going to take the cataracts off of your son's eyes so he can see Jesus. God is going to remove blindness off of the minds of those that have sat and they stood there in stubbornness against the will and the purpose of God. But the God that I'm serving knows how to do this again. If he'd done it for Saul, he'll do it for y'all. He was on his way to Damascus. He was hating Christianity, hating the message of Christianity. But then a light came from heaven and it shined upon this man that's an enemy to Christianity. And the voice came from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? If you read the passage, it's so powerful, because the glory of God began to blind his natural eyes. But for the first time in Saul's life, he had true vision of who Jesus really is. I don't care how strung out your child is. Lift your hand up and say, God, you're a miracle worker. I don't care how strung out your child is. I don't care what's going on in your family. You've got to understand that you didn't come to this place to not believe God. You didn't live this long to give up your faith. You didn't go through the hell you've gone through now to turn your back. You got to stand and you got to be stubborn and say, I know my God, and I know that God can touch them again. If something is not going right now, don't panic. Just say, God, touch them again. Deliver them again. If they go back out to the bars, don't start freaking out. God, deliver them. I have a friend of mine that was in a bar sitting there drunk, and I don't know, some of you might not believe this, he was drunker than I don't know what. He fell down, the power of God hit him in the bar, drunk, fell down on the ground, and his friends were saying, get up, come on, we gotta go home. They were all drunk, and he starts speaking in this language that his friends could not understand. God filled him with the Holy Ghost while he was laying there on the bar, saved him and delivered him right there. And from then on, even to this day, his children have the benefit of a father that God saved in the bar. Stop overlooking the power of God. Stop looking at you and your limitations. Know that the God that we're serving is real, and know that God is trying to change your reasoning. All the anxiety you're walking in, why are you walking in such fear? Who told you you had to live in anxiety? Who told you you had to live in fear? The Bible said, I didn't say it, the scripture said it, God have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound, healthy mind. Somebody in this house shout now. I dare you to. Open your mouth and shout. I don't know what that was. If you want to call it a shout, whatever. I'm talking about some folks that know God is a miracle worker. Open your mouth and shout. So here we are now living in an age to where Christians are somewhat a little backwards. They're afraid to declare the things of God. Listen to me. You can go through a stage and blow a moment. You can go through a stage and have the wrong reasoning. You can go through the stage in your thinking being an enemy to the things of God. Peter went through that stage. Read it. He went through the stage. And here's what the gig was. Jesus tell him what he's going to have to suffer. And of course, Peter, you know Peter. Yeah, no, I ain't going to come nigh you. Jesus rebukes him. And here's what he says. Satan, get thee hence. Watch what he says. You say not the things or the thoughts of God. You're only talking from the reasoning of a man. And he says it like this. Satan, get the hence. In other words, Satan can hide behind your reasoning and your thoughts in your speech. He rebuked not Peter, but the enemy. Though the rebuke hit Peter, let's understand clearly, he said, Satan, get thee hence. He recognized something that was spiritual. I mean, come on. Sometimes when we love, we feel like our love is so complete. Oh, man, somebody touch my family, man. I'm down. You know, I'm somebody. They're gonna have to go through me to get them. Jesus is going like, look, dude, I don't need you to save me. I came for this reason. I don't need you to try to help me out of what God has called me to do. Don't try to help me not get to the cross. I don't need your rhetoric. I don't need your talk. I don't need your reasoning whatsoever. And sometimes we try to help God. Tap somebody and say, oh my. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we try to help them. That's why some of us, you start dating into anything. And don't get upset with me. As a matter of fact, some of you took a date and you turned it into a destiny. You didn't even realize the stage that you were in. God was setting up somebody for you. But you're going to go ahead and help God. I'm going to help God. I couldn't find nobody at the church. I'm going straight to the club. I'm a get my man. I'm a get. God is going to help. Yeah, you'll have a man, no doubt about it. But it don't mean it's the man of God that I've called for you. You didn't want to go through the stage. You complained. I don't know why God is not giving me a husband. I mean, Sister Chitlin, she's had 5 and I can't get one. You just tripping, boo. You're just tripping. God is trying to get you to be still long enough and wait upon him. And stop panicking about somebody seeing your beauty. It's not about your beauty. It's not about your beauty. It's about your future. God does not lack men of God that will come to you. But you got to get out of the state that you need somebody to rescue you. You're only going through a stage. And I know people have said to make the statement, well, I just don't feel complete. I've not found my other half. Listen, Linda, listen. That's not the way it goes. And don't be a Karen in church. Straighten that out. Get it straight in your thinking. Because if you did find your only half, you'll still have 2 perfect jacked up halves. God's not trying to get you to be a half. He wants your 100%. And believe me when I tell you, God has somebody that's 100%. Somebody that loves him first. Somebody that is a worshiper. If you ever want to find your spouse, look at how they're worshiping. If they're not worshiping, you may want to back up and say, God, maybe this ain't it. Worship is the key to know how you're going to be loved. If he can't love God who made the universe, how in the world can he love you just because you made dinner? Check out how he worshiped. You ain't talking to me now. I feel some help up in here now. So God has to deal with us to understand we're just in a stage. You won't always think that way. You won't always be that way. Just go through the stages right. He's got another touch for you. Go through the stages right. He's going to turn it around for you. Go through the stages right. You can't see it right now. Don't panic. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't freak out. Don't start treating God like he's not able. Stop treating God like it's impossible. Stop treating God like he's not seen your need. Stop treating God like he doesn't know what to do. Stop treating God like he's not heard your prayer. Stop treating God like he's totally out of sight and out of place. Start treating God like he's there present now. God, I'm not blessing you when I get over. I'm blessing you because of the fact you've already took me over. I'm not blessing you and praising you because everything is right. I just know in your view, I know that everything is absolutely right. So God deals with us because some of us, we're in a stage and you can't afford to blow it. Not the way you did last year. Some of you last year, you did it your way. It was your thing. It's how you thought. It was all about you. And some of us, that's how we did it. When we got to a certain stage, we demanded to be a certain place like the children of Israel. But God begins to deal with it and say, sweetheart, you're just in a stage. Stop giving up on me. Stop giving up on our covenant. Stop giving up on the way I love you. You're just in a stage. You will be all
right. Sometime you gotta weep, but weeping for night, believe me, joy comes in the morning. You're going to be fine. God delivers out everybody that is his. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but God brings them out, every single one of them. Stop treating God like he's lost power when it came to your situation. Stop treating God like God doesn't heal the sick. Stop treating God like God can't cast the devil out of your husband. Stop treating God like God has lost strength and ability. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. God does not change. Lift your hand and shout now. Lift your hand and shout. So God invites you. You're right, you're in the stage. It don't look good. You don't have a job. Every job you get, they tripping. They wanna hire you for a little bit, then fire you. Can't seem to find the things you want on education. I mean, all this stuff. And you're worried, God. I said, why are you worried? It's my touch that does this. Why are you worried? You came to me powerless. You came to me blind. You came to me ignorant. You came to me dead. You came to me lost. Why would you think for one moment I don't have the power to save you? Why would you think for one moment I don't have the ability to turn your life around? You came to me tore up from the floor up. Do you think for one moment I'm going to leave you that way? Do you think for one moment I'm going to ignore your condition and walk away? You're talking about a mighty God. You're talking about a God that keeps the sun hot and water wet. You're talking about the God that keeps the earth underneath your feet. You're talking about a God that cannot, will not ever lie. He never fails. He's amazing. And he's after somebody in this house. You're in a stage, but he's got the touch of God for you. You're in a stage. You're wanting to quit certain things in ministry. You wanted to somewhat retire or take a sabbatical. And God is saying, you're just in a stage. If you can trust me where you are, if you can trust me, if you can put your faith in me where you are, not in those things that's bothering you. You have more faith in those things that's disturbing you than the peace that I told you I would give to you. You're just in a stage, but God is a mighty deliverer. God is the one that's going to bring you out. God will cause the Jericho walls to fall. You're in a mighty family, a mighty kingdom that's never lost one battle. Lift your hand up if you know that God is that kind of God. Stand on your feet and shout to God all over this house. Shout to your God. Shout to your God. You're only in a stage. Remain standing. So now, here's some of you. Here you are in ministry. You're a little wore out. Some stuff is going on in you. Stuff going on around you. It's not the end of the world. Believe me when I tell you. Every service, three services on Sunday, jam-packed. Every service here. You don't understand that this stage is only a stage to get you to the next. And God has the final touch that brings revelation. You can see now. You can behold things. Now you have vision. Some of you are only content with sight, but God wants to give you vision. What has restrained you and brought limitations? Lift your hand up if you know that God has a touch for where you are right now.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.